All right, so today we're going deep on Lawrence D. Maas and his essay, The Unexpurgated Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating one.
It is. We're really trying to get into like what he sees as like these authoritarian trends happening right now,
mm-hmm.
and the people sort of leading them, you know.
And the thing is, like, right off the bat, Maas is coming at this from such a unique perspective.
Yeah.
Like, being a gay Jew and so invested in minority rights, it makes his analysis of these threats to democracy, like, really personal and powerful.
Absolutely.
This isn't just some theoretical thing for him, you know?
Yeah.
It's coming from his own concerns and values, and that makes it hit differently.
For sure. And, I mean, this essay covers a lot of ground.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he goes from free speech to these complex international conflicts, mm-hmm. all through this lens of, you know, this perceived rise of authoritarianism.
Right.
So, like, our mission here today is to pull out, like, the core arguments he's making.
Yep.
The big comparisons he lays out and basically help you understand his whole view of power and leadership in today's world.
Exactly.
We're not here to take sides or anything like that.
No.
We're just trying to unpack this thing together, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's dive in.
Sounds good.
So one of the first things that jumps out from Maas is this idea that all these different rights are connected.
Yeah, he's big on that.
Like, he says his own freedoms as a gay Jew aren't just like isolated. They're tied to these bigger democratic principles.
Mm-hmm.
And even to tolerating viewpoints that are, you know, like super offensive to him personally.
He brings up a really interesting example with that.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
The whole ACLU defending neo-Nazis marching in Skokie.
Oh, right, right. With the large Jewish population there.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, that's got to be so hard to swallow emotionally.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
But for Maas, this commitment to free speech, even for these people, is, like, non-negotiable.
Yeah, like, it's a cornerstone of a healthy democracy.
Well,
even if it's, like, super uncomfortable sometimes.
Right.
So that's a huge takeaway from Maas right there, I think.
Totally agree.
Like, your freedom isn't just yours. It's tied to everyone else's, even the people you totally disagree with.
It's that ACLU defending those neo-Nazis. It really highlights that.
Yeah, for sure.
And this ties directly into how he defines authoritarianism.
Okay, interesting.
Like, for him, it's not just about holding discriminatory views. It's demanding that everyone else believes the same thing.
Okay.
And using power to silence anyone who disagrees.
So it's not just about having unpopular opinions. It's about forcing them on everyone else.
Exactly. And using, like, the law to do it.
Oh, wow.
Taking away rights and freedoms and all that.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
So he sees that as, like, the core flaw of authoritarianism.
Definitely.
Like, it just feels wrong on a basic level.
Yeah. It goes against something fundamental.
That's it.
And he sees this happening right now all over the place with the far right.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
They use these ideas of patriotism and morality and religion to make themselves look like the victims.
Like they're being discriminated against?
Yeah, exactly. Reverse discrimination. That's what they call it.
Oh, wow. That's pretty clever, actually.
It is. It's a very calculated move.
Yeah.
And Maas points out how organized and sophisticated they are.
Oh, yeah. In what ways?
Like, they have lawyers. They know how to use technology. They're spreading disinformation.
Oh, wow.
It's all very coordinated.
That's kind of scary.
And he's also worried about armed militias and parts of the military maybe siding with these anti-democratic groups.
Oh, man. That's a really disturbing thought.
It is. It paints a pretty stark picture.
Definitely.
Now, when Maas talks about who's leading these trends, a few names keep coming up.
Okay, who are we talking about here?
Well, Vladimir Putin, obviously.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Xi Jinping as well.
Okay, uh-huh.
And then, of course, Donald Trump.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so these are like the big players in his view.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is where things get really interesting because Maas makes this kind of paradoxical argument.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
He says that Trump, despite having these authoritarian tendencies, might actually be the best person to achieve some kind of global stability.
Wait, really?
Yeah, by working with these oligarchies.
So the guy who seems to be on the same side as some of these authoritarian leaders,
right,
could be the one to negotiate with them.
Exactly.
And maybe like de-escalate things like the war in Ukraine or figure out how to deal with China.
That's the idea.
Hmm. That's a pretty wild take.
It is a bit mind-bending, isn't it?
It is.
But it's also, like, weirdly pragmatic.
Yeah, kind of like a keep your enemies closer sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so what else does Maas get into?
Well, he brings up some interesting historical comparisons.
Okay, like what?
Like, he talks about G.D. Vance calling someone America's Hitler.
Oh, right, right.
And how even saying stuff like that can get you in trouble now.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Like, people are afraid to even make those comparisons.
Right. Wow. And then there's the whole Maoist Cultural Revolution comparison.
Right.
Like how people who criticize Trump get called paranoid.
Yeah, like they're seeing ghosts everywhere.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting.
And Mass calls this the boomerang pushback strategy.
Boomerang pushback?
Yeah, it's like accusing your accuser of doing the thing they're accusing you of.
Oh, wow. So it's like a way of deflecting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It muddies the waters and makes people doubt what they're seeing.
So it's like a classic authoritarian tactic.
Totally.
Okay, so are there any like specific leaders he compares Trump to?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, who?
Well, he mentions Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And that whole thing with Trump saying he understands him.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
It was a bit unsettling, for sure.
Yeah.
But the biggest comparison by far is to Vladimir Putin.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
Well, Mass uses this really strong phrase. He talks about treasonous emulation and collaboration.
Whoa, okay, that's a serious accusation.
It is. He's not mincing words there.
So what does he mean by treasonous emulation?
Like praising Putin over American institutions, echoing his propaganda, things like that.
Okay, I see.
And then the collaboration part.
Yeah.
He even brings up the whole Greenland thing.
Oh, right, right.
As a possible example of them working together.
Like Trump helping Putin with some bigger plan.
Yeah, maybe to dominate Europe and the Arctic.
Wow, okay. So this is getting into some pretty serious conspiracy theory territory.
It is. It's definitely a bold claim.
Yeah, for sure.
And then he contrasts this with George W. Bush's global AIDS initiative.
Oh, okay. That's a big shift.
It is. He talks about how important that was historically,
mm-hmm.
and then how it was basically dismantled under Trump.
Right.
And he links this to other times when leaders ignored science and it had terrible consequences.
Like what?
Like Thabo Mbeki in South Africa.
Oh, right, with the AIDS denialism.
Exactly.
And all those people who died because of it.
It's a really stark example of what can happen when you ignore the experts.
Definitely.
And then he mentions Viktor Orban as another possible role model for Trump.
Okay, who's that again?
He's the leader of Hungary.
Right, right, right.
And Mass sees him as, like, Putin's buddy, basically, with his own authoritarian leanings.
Okay, got it.
But then Mass goes even further.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he starts comparing Trump to these figures who aren't, like, traditional dictators.
Okay, so, like, who are we talking about here?
Like Jim Jones.
Oh, wow.
That's... And even Kurtz from Heart of Darkness.
That's a pretty intense comparison.
It's a different kind of authoritarianism, you know?
Yeah, like more cult-like.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me more about the Jim Jones thing.
Well, Mass sees these parallels with the cult of personality.
Right.
And how followers blindly follow their leader no matter what.
Like drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a pretty apt comparison, I think.
And even brings up American Horror Story, Cult.
Oh, the one with the Jim Jones character.
Yeah, just to show how this idea has really seeped into our culture.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then there's Kurtz from Heart of Darkness. He represents this descent into, like, pure, unchecked power.
Yeah, that whole the horror thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty terrifying.
It is. It's about how absolute power just corrupts completely.
And it makes you think of that comment Trump made.
Oh, about shooting someone on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, getting away with it.
Mass interprets that as like a declaration of impunity.
Like he's above the law.
Exactly.
Wow.
And to try to understand this, Mass brings up Shakespeare's idea of motiveless malignancy.
Motiveless malignancy.
Yeah, it's like this drive towards corruption and power for no real reason other than just to have it.
Hmm. That's a really interesting concept.
It is. It's kind of like a child breaking a toy just to see it broken.
Oh, wow. Okay, I get it.
Like there's no real goal other than just the destruction itself.
So it's like a darker explanation for what's going on.
Definitely.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive on Mass, what are some of the key takeaways you think?
Well, he's really adamant that when it comes to bad stuff happening, the leaders are ultimately responsible.
Like more than the followers.
Exactly. Okay, interesting. And he also points out how some leaders see regulation as the enemy.
Like Trump and Elon Musk.
Yeah, they want to get rid of it completely.
Hmm, I see.
And finally, he talks about this pattern of dictators staying in power for a really long time.
Oh, yeah. He mentioned a bunch of examples.
Like Franco, Stalin, Castro, Mao, Putin, Xi.
Yeah, that's a pretty sobering thought.
It is. It makes you wonder how hard it is to actually get rid of these guys once they're in power.
Definitely.
So to sum this all up for you, we've been looking at Lawrence Mass's analysis of authoritarianism today.
Right. and how he compares these current leaders to historical dictators.
Exactly.
And even to these other more cult-like figures.
It's a pretty complex and unsettling picture he paints.
It is, for sure. But yeah. I think it's really important for people to grapple with these ideas.
Oh, absolutely.
Regardless of your political views and, you know.
Totally.
Like, understanding these dynamics of power and leadership is crucial for anyone who wants to be informed.
Couldn't agree more.
And it makes you think about those long tenures Mass was talking about.
Right. Like, what does history tell us about getting rid of these authoritarian leaders once they're in charge?
And what role do we all play in that?
Exactly.
It's a big question, and it's one that's worth thinking about.
I think so, too.